Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are here this week to bring you wide receivers and tight ends, part two. It'll be part one for the tight ends, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not a deep tight end class, so we're just going to wrap them up and lump them in as the back end pass catchers for wide receiver and the tight ends. We are getting closer to the draft. It is 1 week away. I am excited. I'm heading up to upstate New York again this year to visit my buddies, have a garbage plate, which I have just been having fever dreams about.
I'm jealous. I see pictures, and
it's a life-changing event because it looks like, I mean, it looks like garbage, and you're like, oh, how can that be good? And then you eat it, and it's like the skies open, and the light comes down, and you just get beamed up into heaven. That's what a garbage plate is. So, yeah, I'll tweet out pictures of it when I get it on Friday. Thursday, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings. Not my favorite spot, but it's where the guys go. So I'll rack up a tab there. And then Friday is a garbage plate at my buddy Tony's house in his man cave watching day two of the draft. And then day three, I'm not watching day three. I stopped doing that a couple years ago. Yeah.
Soccer started. So it's going to be a lot of the kids' soccer games.
So you can watch it mobile.
I'm going to try to, well, unless it's a late game, if it's early, I'll have to wake up early because I work that weekend. So I'll get there and quickly get the kids in, like get in the car.
Move.
What? Yeah. So it'll be fun because I actually think the late rounds will be good because there's going to be running backs that we talked about in past episodes. The receivers we're going to talk about today will probably be in the fourth round. It's a deep receiver class, and I mean, maybe these receivers get pushed down.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be in New York, and I'm going to go out and do this. I got to drive back that day. So that kind of, maybe I'll listen to it on the radio.
You should get some authentic Italian pizza at Sbarro's. I heard it's insane.
Yes, at the very luxurious food court.
Michael Scott, his favorite authentic Italian pizza.
Yes. So funny Sbarro's story. I used to work in the mall when I worked for Best Buy, and the Sbarro pizza, take it or leave it, where it was at was their Stromboli's. That was the move. If you're going to Sbarro, get the pepperoni or pepperoni and sausage Stromboli. Delish.
I mean, Strombolis in general are great. Like,
yeah.
Calzones. I like calzones too. It all depends on what you want, but pizza's pizza, man. It's good.
Now, here's a last food question before we move into this thing. There's not a lot of news to cover, so we're filling it with just fun stuff.
With food.
With food, yeah.
I went grocery shopping, and I spent like $400 just now on food. So
when I went to Toronto, Canada many years ago, we met a couple on our honeymoon cruise, which was 20 years ago, and got to know them pretty well and went up to Toronto to visit them. And Donnie was like, have you ever had a panzerotti? And I was like, I don't know what that is. It sounds Italian, obviously. I'm like, what is it? He's like, it's a deep fried calzone. And let me tell you, I've never seen it in the States. I feel like I could start a food trend if I started this here in Rhode Island, and people would be like, have you had the panzerotti? I've never seen it here in the States. Only I've seen it in Canada where they have bags for milk. It's true. They do things differently there.
We have it in Minnesota.
Do you have bags? Well, you're close enough to Canada, but do you have deep fried calzones?
No, but I actually have. I've seen videos of it because I follow food stuff on Facebook, and it looks insane.
It's so good. But I don't know why they don't do it here in the States.
Like pizza rolls, that's how hot it probably is and just instantly burns her whole face. Like,
yeah, but it is. Victim. We had it. So we were there over a football for a Sunday. I remember watching the Patriots game. I forget who they were playing. And I had it. We went and picked it up. And it was not quite as magical as a garbage plate, but it was delish. So panzerotti, amazing.
Also, Doug, when he went on his honeymoon for a trip, everybody, if you don't understand, he actually took a horse and carriage around. That is how old.
And didn't get cholera or dysentery.
Yes, it was a miracle, but he didn't.
I survived. I had a 1-pixel shotgun with me. It was amazing. So much fun.
One of his oxen died, which was sad.
Yeah, that happens. One of the kids, but you know, whatever.
You can always make a new
one. You can just make more. It's fine. Let's get into some news. There's not a lot. I did see a nugget that was interesting today across my X feed, also known as Twitter. I hate calling it X. That the Washington Commanders, it is the Tuesday before the draft, and so we're just a little over a week away, and they are hosting Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Drake May all at once tonight and tomorrow. And all I could think of in my head was the scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker breaks the pool cue and there's like five guys and he's like, all right, whoever survives is on the team. It's like that scenario. Like, all right, whichever one of you QB survives, that's who we're going to pick it to, which would be fun. I know it's not going to happen like that. A very interesting strategy. Tyler and I were talking before the show, you know, their GM is more known for his basketball background than football one. What were your thoughts on this, Tyler?
I actually like it because he kind of, instead of being like, do you remember what he was like? Because usually when you get a new person in, that's fresh in your memory. So like when you have them all in the building, you can literally distinguish which one might be right for your team right in front of you. Like they're right there and you can tell the difference right in front of you.
See if they're competitive with each other.
Yeah. And I'm honestly, a lot of these quarterbacks, you hear stories about draft time. They're all friends. So it's not like they're coming in and being like, oh, I don't like this guy. Like I think a lot of people know that Jaden Daniels will probably be the pick at two. That is the rumor. Adam Scheffler literally said you can place your bets on Jaden Daniels being at two. And yeah, I'm going to take his word for it because he just doesn't say things. So for me, I'm going to put my bet on Jaden Daniels. Maybe they're just doing it as like a fun, like, hey, you know, you guys are probably all friends. Let's just hang out, get some food, and let's see what y'all are like, and let's have fun with this. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The basketball background could have something to do with it, but this is fun. Like, this isn't like if for me, this actually is like a plus for the Washington management, which has not had very light days in the past. Dan Snyder.
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Other than that, there wasn't really any.
Devonta Smith got a 3-year.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't
extension.
Any signings per se with new teams, but Devonta Smith, now Philadelphia has like top five paid positional players at like six different positions. If anyone tells you the salary cap is real, like, come on, you can manipulate that thing all day long. So, I mean, between Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Lane Johnson,
Landon Dickerson, just got paid.
You've got like six guys that are top five in the league.
Yeah, Mulata just got.
We all know that the salary cap will change and all that jazz, but like, yeah, that's pretty wild. So they're still all in Philadelphia. So that's good to see. And they got Barkley too.
Other than the Eagles, kind of getting Barkley. The Eagles and the Colts have kind of just stayed in house and signed their own people, which is always good to see. And
Patriots did too.
Yeah,
whether that's good or bad,
we'll have to see. It's gonna we'll get into the draft talk a little more, but also our draft episode will be on Sunday, the day the our old time. So we will be fresh with the news in the podcast.
That'll be a long one, and I'm here for it. That'll be a fun one. Speaking of the Patriots, I was looking at a mock draft, and they had them taking Keon Coleman in the second and then Tez Walker in the third. And I was like, could you take two prospects I don't like even more? We'll talk a little bit about Tez Walker today, but and Keon Coleman.
Well, I was going to say, I came out on Twitter with a list of my I'm not touching, and Tez was definitely on there, but we'll get into it. And I'm sure Coleman is definitely one of your guys here.
I mean, I get heebie-jeebies on him if you're a Patriots fan, you know why.
Well, let's get into it. Would you rather have what Florida State receiver would you rather draft?
For the price, I would rather have Johnny Wilson probably in the fourth, maybe fifth, than Keon Coleman in the second, maybe third.
I hear rumors Wilson might be a third round NFL
draft pick. I know he's gotten a lot of smoke. I was watching Josh Norris and his team at Underdog. Dude, they did a video on Johnny Wilson. Here's the thing about Johnny Wilson, though. Like, he's 6'6", so there's never been a receiver in modern-day NFL. I mean, Harold Carmichael, but that was, like, in the 80s. That's 6'6" or taller that's been worth a damn in the NFL. So he's a huge outlier. You know, a lot of people wanted him to move a tight end, but he moves like a receiver. Like, he's not big like a tight end. He's a receiver. He's just a very tall one. And historically, those receivers, I mean, think of guys that are like what Ramsey's Barden was one that was really tall for the Giants that a lot of people liked, but never amounted to anything. These really tall guys typically don't translate well for whatever reason. I don't know if Johnny Wilson's going to be the exception to the rule. If I have a like a round four rookie pick, would I take a stab on him? Sure. But I wouldn't go any higher than that because I just think he's going to have to be an outlier in order to be successful in the NFL.
There's a lot of receivers. I know if you don't remember Chris Henry, the old receiver for the Bengals.
Yep.
Adam Pac-Man Jones actually takes care of him because they were best friends. And on a McAfee show, he talks about Chris Henry's son, who is a five-star guy, elite athlete. He's 6'5" now, so there's a chance he's going to be 6'6". So we might see a group of 6'5"+ receivers coming. Like Calvin Johnson was the last like tall elite receiver, and he was 6'5", but he was also 230.
Yeah, it's so, it's that 6'6" and above is like the threshold of like it's just a bunch of guys.
It's just an inch. I mean, sometimes that matters, but it's just an inch.
Certain rooms of the house, it matters. But yeah, so Johnny Wilson, I like the way he moves. I like, you know, I like his game. That's just the biggest thing. And there's a bunch of receivers that are like that in this draft. So for me, let's talk about his teammate, Keon Coleman. I watch a lot of Florida State. Undefeated Florida State team. I think they would have pushed for the national title if Jordan Travis didn't go down with an injury. But that's another story. And then they got blown up. Everyone's like, they got blown up by Georgia. I'm like, they didn't play anyone. Like, Trey Benson didn't play. Nobody played.
A third-string quarterback.
Yeah, Brandon Fisk played, and he's a beast. Whoever gets him in the draft, the D-tackle, the motor on that dude is unbelievable. He's very good. But Keon Coleman, so when the Patriots get mocked Keon Coleman, I know mocks mean nothing. It's just for fun. But it scares me because all I think of is N'Keal Harry. Because N'Keal Harry, and now, granted, N'Keal Harry was a lot of people's wide receiver one in that draft. But what was his biggest bugaboo in the pros? He couldn't separate. And Keon Coleman, I think he's a... I don't know if he's a better athlete than N'Keal Harry, but he has separation issues too. And that's what scares me is that is Keon Coleman just going to be another N'Keal Harry? Because that we've seen that his size translate to the NFL. And it's been a lot of guys like your Corey Coleman's, guys like that, you know, Laquon Treadwell's, that outside receivers in that size that have separation issues not translate. And that's what scares me about Keon Coleman. Now, if Keon Coleman goes in the late first round, I don't think he will. I think he'll probably ultimately go somewhere in the second round. But you got to look at the last few years, second round receivers, there's been some big misses in that group. You know, there's Sky Moore, Tutu Atwell, smaller guys, but there's been some bigger guys that haven't hit in that group as well. I'm just kind of not in on Keon Coleman at all. Maybe I draft him in one league if I have like a late second or an early third, but I'm not investing middle of the second round rookie draft picks in Keon Coleman, hoping that he's going to be this, you know, decent producer at the NFL. There's enough red flags around him where I'm just kind of out.
Yeah, draft capital definitely matters with him, and it all depends on where in rookie drafts he'll go. I think he's got enough fan base that he, and probably draft capital, that he will be a mid to late second. So it all depends on how you feel. I mean, Field Yates absolutely loves him. He thinks he's going to be an elite prospect, and he likes what he sees. I mean, he didn't do it at Michigan State. That's another problem. So he had to transfer.
I mean, he's with Jaden Reed, so he had competition there.
Yeah.
He never took over at Florida State. Like, when him and Johnny Wilson were on the field together, they worked well together. But Keon Coleman was never... he never took over games, it felt like. Like, he'd have some big catches downfield, but he never took over a game.
Yeah, Keon Coleman was the small slot compared to Johnny Wilson as the huge X receiver on the outside.
The tower of power over there.
Even though, you know, Coleman's, what, 6'3"?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of receivers on this list that we're going to talk about today that I would much rather go after than Keon Coleman. One of them is Roman Wilson from Michigan, who reminds me a little bit of Santana Moss / Golden Tate to his game. Like, he's going to be I think he can play outside, but I don't think he's going to be ideal there. I think he'll be a really good slot receiver that can move around and just a tough kid. He makes a tough catches. He's got, you know, 50-50 jump ball ability, even though he's not the tallest kid. He's fast. He ran a 4.4 40. And Michigan, we all know it's not a big passing offense. I mean, look at Nico Collins, even look at Donovan Peoples-Jones coming out of Michigan. They didn't have the stats to back it up. Roman was their number one receiver there last year and had pretty solid stats, and then tested really well at the combine, killed the bench press for a guy his size. He's strong, and that's why he reminds me of Golden Tate a little bit.
I mean, he had 12 reps. Quorum destroyed.
Oh, it was Corum.
Corum had 27 or 25.
Okay. I got my Michigan guys mixed up.
I mean, they're like the same person, except one is...
Corum's just a thicker, thicker bottom.
Corum's a tiny person compared to Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, so Roman Wilson is I like him. Yeah, I like him as a prospect. That's a guy that I would be targeting in the late second rounds, and we'll see where his draft capital is too. And if he goes to a team, like say he goes to Cincinnati to fill the Tyler Boyd role, like that's perfect. That's exactly the kind of landing spot that you want for a player like him.
I love Roman Wilson. He's one of my favorite players in the second round to go get. I mean, he's another one of those guys that we talked about with Ladd McConkey, how the drumbeat all off season. Roman Wilson's has been louder. Like it's been the whole process. And I mean, the guy was a touchdown machine at Michigan. It was just the yardage he didn't have, but they didn't have a bunch of pass attempts. So that's
the whole... It's going to skew a lot of the algorithms when they talk about receivers and check boxes and things like that, because it's just the offense that he's in. Like Collins didn't check those boxes either because of the same thing.
At the NFL Network, NFL.com on the combine, they have him compared to Marvin Mims, which is a very solid comp. They're almost the same type of player, same build. But I think Wilson might have a little bit more nuance in his route running.
Agree. Yeah, agree.
So I really like Roman Wilson. I think he is one of those guys that you are looking for in the mid-second. And I do think he gets a draft capital. And if you haven't heard, I heard this on a podcast, he's from Hawaii. And this is how much he loved football. His dad would actually travel to different islands in Hawaii so his son could play football until he's like, okay, this is enough. We need to actually move.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, this guy loves football. And his hands, he's got mitts. 9 3/8 hands for 5'11". Like, those are big hands for his size.
Yeah, there's some receivers in this draft that are like 6'1", 6'2", with like tiny hands. Just
baby hands. Kenny Pickett.
They make Will Fuller's hands look big.
Oh my God.
Someone was talking about Xavier. We talked about Xavier Worthy last week, but someone was talking about him on a podcast, and all I could think of what they were talking about was Will Fuller.
I what happened? Like, he just disappeared off the earth.
He signed that deal with the Dolphins, played like a game or two, and then I just think he had some mental health issues. And I think
that's fair.
He walked away from the game and then just never came back. Did he sign with like the Pack? I felt he signed with another team, but never played for them.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Yeah, but I just remember him signing in Miami.
The thing was, is he had so much talent inside of his body that his body couldn't keep up. That was the issue. If you guys don't remember, I was a huge Will Fuller guy. So
Notre Dame? Oh, shocker. Shocker. I want to talk about another player that's getting a lot of pub, and he's really rising up people's boards, and that's Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. I've watched some content over this past couple weeks, and he's a name that people constantly really, really like. And I think he's getting steamed up in rookie drafts. He's going to be a second round rookie pick. Because I think in the NFL draft, he's going to go somewhere in the second round, from what it looks like. And, you know, there's a lot to like about Ricky Pearsall's profile. Looking at his reception perception is solid. You know, he's hands, he's a tough kid. He's got size. He's a pretty good route runner as well. And again, that's another offense where the quarterback play wasn't great for Florida this past year. But Pearsall really shined. So what do you think about Ricky Pearsall being a top 60 pick?
I'm curious on your opinion first. Go deeper into him. I've got to go check on my little daughter.
Oh, do it. So with Ricky Pearsall, I think he reminds me of, you know, we talked about Roman Wilson, a slot player. Like, that's where he'll excel. I think Pearsall can be that, like, that power slot that we've seen in the NFL kind of evolve in the last few years. You've got this taller kid. You know, he's a little bit bigger than your traditional slot receiver. He can make the tough catches over the middle. And I think that's one thing that a lot of teams will really like, is that he's going to be a reliable option on second and third downs, is that when you need a conversion, because of his rock solid hands, his good route running, and his ability to get open over the middle and make tough catches, I think Ricky Pearsall will be a great power slot, and then you can move him around. So I think he's going to be if he goes on a team with a good quarterback, he can be the chain mover type of guy. I think he still has the ability to make explosive plays on the outside or catch and separate when you need him to be. So he's the kind of guy that can take a slant to the house If it's in the right, you know, against the right defense, he can take a slant, run past his defender and get you yardage. I think he's tough after the catch. I just think he's a really solid prospect.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not getting into, I know this is funny, the Alex Pierce trap. Alex Pierce was a very hot commodity. He was a second round pick and he was ultra talented and had all the athleticism. He was just one of those people that was on the field and ran just ran nines to open up everything else for Pittman. So hopefully we're not running into that trap. And but Pearsall, I mean, guy can jump out of the whole entire stadium. Like
he was a surprisingly good athlete. He's both got, him and Ladd, I surprised me with yeah. their athleticism.
And they both got speed. He's going to be a second round pick. There's going to be a team. I would not be shocked if it's the Carolina Panthers that draft him earlier than what we would think. He seems like a Adam Thielen replacement, which if he's going to learn the rest of the route tree from Adam Thielen, that's good. Like, yeah. why not? And yeah, if he lands on that team and say something happens to Thielen, we could see very early production. So he's a guy I think I'd have behind Roman Wilson, but I think he's not far behind Roman Wilson.
I think they're pretty close on the old big board, if you will.
Yeah.
Another prospect that's been getting a lot, that's kind of slid under the radar, even though that he's played for a couple of big schools. He played for Georgia and Alabama, and he's got some personal stuff that might be a little bit of a red flag for teams, but there's been a lot of love for Jermaine Burton as of late. And I can see why. Like, his game is really, really good when you watch the tape. I think he is a pro-ready receiver out the gate. It's out of any of the wide receivers, the draft capital on him is going to be interesting because, you know, supposedly there's red flags about personal stuff, but I think if it's not that bad, teams will draft him relatively early. To go to Georgia and then Alabama says something for you as a prospect. And then to produce, again, Alabama's passing offense last year with Jalen Milroe was not great. But Tyler, what did you like about Jermaine Burton?
I think he's just a solid all-around prospect. He was a very, very high four-star recruit. Like you said, went to Georgia, transferred. I think his combine was surprising. He ran a 4.45. That shocked me. I thought he'd be like a 4.5, but more of a nuanced route runner. He's got potential. And for me personally, I think he's going to be a third-round pick, possibly late second. We could see him. But he's one of those guys, like, we're going to talk about a couple of Washington players that they have very good potential. But this is where I talked about earlier. These guys could get pushed back to the fourth round just due to the depth of the position and sure. teams will hit other needs. But for me, like, if they land day two, I think their draft capital will probably push them up in rookie draft. So I'm hoping they stay more sleepers. But Burton is getting such hype right now that
yeah,
I think...
6 weeks ago, Jermaine Burton was my like deep sleeper, and now he's not a sleeper at all. So that's how this process works sometimes.
I picked up him and another USC receiver in that draft we have before or right after the NFL Combine. I actually picked him up off waivers, a 12-team, four-round draft. I picked Burton off waivers, and I picked another USC receiver off waivers of a former Hall of Famer. Oh. So we'll talk about him a little bit, but... Yeah, like this receiver class has so much potential and it has the ability for you to actually go out and pick your guy. Like there's going to be Doug and I, we're going to talk about those Washington players and we like both of them, but
yeah,
more one of the other. So he's sure. a big, well, let's just get into it. He's a big Polk guy and I'm a big McMillan guy. Mm-hmm.
I saw Pete Schrager, who's very plugged into the NFL, and he finally released his mock draft today. So I was perusing through it, and he had Jalen Polk going to the Chiefs at 32, which was a surprise first-round pick.
Wow.
And I like Polk's game a lot. You know, he played with a great college quarterback in Michael Penix. If he goes to the Chiefs and plays with Mahomes, we all know the Rashee Rice situation. Now he's being sued for $1 million in damages because of the car crash and all these different felony account or charges and whatnot. So that's going to be a situation to monitor. At this point, you got to believe Rashee Rice is going to be suspended at least for a couple, two, three games. And, you know, they've got Hollywood Brown and aging Travis Kelce. They need another electric pass catcher. And Jalen Polk, I think, could fill that role because he's pretty versatile. And I love the way that he gets separation and can make plays downfield. If anything, when you watch Penix's tape, it's his receivers making plays downfield for him because they pushed it downfield more than any other school in college. I mean, Penix is always traditionally dropping back and chucking it at least 20 yards, like almost every play, it seemed like, when they're not running the ball. So I like Polk quite a bit. I think McMillan is sneaky. I probably, when it comes to NFL draft capital, I think Polk will beat out McMillan. But when it comes to fantasy drafts, I think McMillan will be like the forgotten guy that you can get later because he gets drafted in the third or fourth round. And maybe you get him in the third or fourth round of your rookie drafts because this class is deep. And he ends up being a screaming value.
I think both these Washington receivers will probably be drafted around the same time. I know Mel Kiper loves McMillan. He thinks
Dracula.
He's going to be a third round pick is what Kiper thinks. But let's go to Polk. Like, he ran a 4.52 on tape. It kind of showed, but that was actually fast for what I saw on tape. He's a strong dude. He's just good at everything. That's what you like to see. I mean, his vertical jump was 37.5, which is good as well. It shows burst. He's got huge hands. I just like everything I see. And with McMillan, like, he was a surprise athlete too. He's 6'1", sub 200. He's got 10-inch hands. He's got mitts. But his production wasn't as good as Polk. He ran a 4.47.
His production's not going to be as good because he was with Adunze and Polk. Like,
yeah, he had a 37 vert, broad of 10.7. Like, his three-cone drill was 6.94, which is perfectly fine. Under 7 is good. So I liked everything I saw from Jalen McMillan. I think he's going to be one of those guys. I'm not going to say he's the next Puka. I loved Puka in the fourth round, and I was trying to snag him up in every draft in the fourth. He's one of those guys.
He could be like a Terry McLaurin.
I was going to say like Deontay Johnson.
Okay. I mean, McLaurin to me was a guy that he played for an elite program and didn't have necessarily the collegiate production, but was just an all-around really solid wide receiver. And that's what he's been in the NFL. Unfortunately, due to quarterback play, we've never seen that huge Terry McLaurin year. Maybe it's this year. Who knows? But I think, you know, and McLaurin was a guy that most people got in the third or fourth round of rookie drafts. And then he ended up being worth a first round pick after his rookie year.
Yeah, Deontay was in the same ballpark. And I think these two receivers could be those two guys. Like, we could see that type of production. And then there's the aforementioned Brendan Rice, son of Hall of Famer Jerry Rice. He is a big dude. Like, Ray Garvin said he talked with him, and he is larger than you can imagine. Like, he is huge. Yep. And apparently has hands like stones. Like, not catching-wise, but just... His handshake was insane.
Or strong. Yeah.
Yes. 9 5/8 hands. He's got 33-inch arms. That's a wingspan, people. That is like, that's a big wingspan for a guy that's 6'2. He ran a 4.5, which I think is perfect for him. He did not show speed for me on tape. It was a lot of just routes. And of course, when you're the son of a Hall of Famer, you're gonna have more. You're going to have better routes because your dad's going to be on your butt if you're not. Vert was 36.5, which was great. Broad was underwhelming at 9.11.
He had a good Senior Bowl week.
Yeah, his Senior Bowl week. Like, he's been just gliding through the whole process, which is what he did at USC. He wasn't wowing anybody, but I think he's going to be a great 2 or 3 option for an NFL team. I think he can grow into being a wide receiver too for a team. But right now, if he has to play a big slot role, he can easily do it. So I really like Rice too, and he... personally, he's one of those people that I hear Arizona could take him in the third just as another receiver. I think he's going to land in a good spot.
His ceiling reminds me of like Juju.
Yeah.
Like, if he's in an offense, I mean, obviously he's not going to be across Antonio Brown, but if he goes somewhere where there's an elite receiver and a good quarterback, like, yeah, I could see him being like Juju. He's got the possession skills. He's got some wiggle. He can break tackles. When Juju was good, Juju was good. Like, he's just kind of broken down over the years.
Yeah, his knee is just... Patriots. His knee's just gone. Like, that's the thing with Juju.
It's not great, Bob, at all. There is one guy we forgot that a lot of is in consensus people's top 10 in this wide receiver class, and it's Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Another one of those profiles where I'm like,
he's old. He's old, and it took him a while.
The oldness doesn't bother me. It's the 1 year of production, having almost no production in his first few years of like 100 and something yards his first couple of years, and then all of a sudden like 1,200 yards and a bunch of touchdowns.
Beaver tranquilizer. That's my only guess.
Maybe. He's got it from Ray Lewis there.
Yes.
What was that? What was that? No, it wasn't beaver tranquilizer. What was it?
Horse? I don't know.
I don't remember. It was something. But Leggett is very interesting to me. He's the type of player that if he, I could see a lot of analysts or people in our drafts kind of fading him, and he might slip to like the end of the second round, and I would be willing to pull the trigger there because I think he has a lot of upside. There, he's potentially going to be a first round pick.
Yep, I've
seen
that.
I've seen it in some mocks. Some of the insiders have said, who's a player that you feel could get drafted before people think they are? And people say Leggett. His athleticism and size is great. He's an outside, like, X receiver body type. But his profile scares me because I tend to stay away from the one-year wonders. But his athleticism backed it up. So for me, I'm not planting a flag in Leggett, but if the value ends up getting there because other people are scared and it's like the 208, 209, I'll step into the void there because at that point, like, if he's got any upside, it's worth it.
Yeah, and that's the thing with you and I. Like, we've got our players we like and don't like, and yeah, we'll avoid them. But if they become a value and they're not, that's when you and I will look at it and be like, okay, I may not like this guy, but as a value, sure, I'll take him here. Troy Franklin, another guy have we talked about him? I don't remember. That's how much I don't care.
We did talk about Troy Franklin last week.
Okay, like if he becomes a value, there's a chance I might take him. Sure. Is he one of my most, I'm not touching them players? Yes, but I'm out on Franklin, but if he comes with value, yeah.
I mean, I think we both did that last year. Like, we're in so many leagues that I remember last year, like, I don't want Quentin Johnson in any leagues, and you were the same way, and then we each took him in a league because, you know what? Sometimes you can be wrong, and then you're like, no, I'll diversify my portfolio, and I'll get a Quentin Johnson on my team, and then just in case it hits, because then you don't want to miss it completely. So with Quentin Johnson, I was just saying, like, last year, that was a guy that I was out on, but he slipped in some drafts and I got him in a draft. I know you drafted him in a draft because you're like, you know what? What if he does hit? Like, then I don't want to feel like I'm missing the boat. I'm in 12 or 13 leagues. You're in a bunch of leagues. Like, so you got to diversify sometimes. And I don't have a problem doing that because, like, there's always the, like, well, what if I'm wrong? You know? And for me, like with Laporta last year, I was so convinced that Laporta was going to hit, that I have him in so many leagues. I traded up for him and that worked out. But if it didn't work out, then that would have sucked because yeah. I would have been like, I drafted and moved up and gave away players and draft capital to get Laporta. And what if he had like a 30 catch, 300 yard, 3 touchdown rookie season? I still wouldn't have been discouraged because tight ends typically do that. I didn't think he'd end as the tight end one. So it worked out. But just on the flip side of the coin, if there's value there and maybe you don't own him in another league, that's when I'll be like, all right, you know what? I don't have Troy Franklin here, or I don't have an Adonai Mitchell or whatever. And I think he's slipping a little bit. I'll step into the void. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, at that point where the cost is, it's not going to kill me.
Yeah. Cost for me on AD Mitchell is one of those things that if the cost isn't there, I'm not going to go for him. Cause I just worry about it, but man, there's a lot of people that I trust that really like Mitchell, and I'm just like,
yep.
What? Like, it's one of those things that we talk about. Like, you got to stick to your guns, and he's one of those guys that is really pushed me on the edge. Like, am I wrong? Like, I even went back and watched a little bit, and I'm like, what? It's George Pickens light. Like, I'd rather have Pickens right now, and I think you could make that trade. I don't know, but it's just, it's going to be a fun draft with these receivers. Is there anybody else you would like to talk about on the receiver end?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Tez Walker earlier on the show. Oh, and, you know, yeah. if you watch Drake May tape, you know, May looks pretty good on tape for the most part. But Tez Walker, he's boom or bust when it comes to either a big splash play or just a... And he had the worst Senior Bowl week I think I've ever seen from a receiver. Just drops. He was just not good. Like, he did not have a good Senior Bowl. And then at the Combine, he wasn't that great. So
He ran okay. Like,
we knew he was fast.
Yeah. That's not exactly. That's not what we're kind of looking at. And I know Garrett Price really likes Tez Walker at his price. And he said that if you're going to go for Price, Tez Walker is exactly like Brian Thomas Jr. in athleticism, but you're getting him for cheaper. And I'm like, I don't think we're there yet, but I could see what he's saying. Like, they're both raw, but for me, like, if you watch Drake May's big year in 2022, like, you saw Josh Downs being the dude. Like, May was targeting Downs like crazy. It was Downs, and then Walker would get his, but Walker had to step up, and it just seemed like he couldn't rise to the occasion when he had to be the guy. That's where I'm kind of off on Walker.
Yeah, I agree. It's just his profile is just the kind that I'm like, again, if the value's there, I'll jump into it, but I'm not really super into it.
Yeah, you got to look at it like in your early, mid, and even late seconds. Like you're looking at guys like, could this guy blossom into a high end wide receiver too, or is he just going
to
be?
I'll tell you what. Right now, in those mid to late seconds, I'm going to seriously start to look at some of this running back group depending on where the landing spots are, because I think that's a sweet spot. I know you don't like the class, but there's a lot of players that I like the Corums and guys that aren't going to go until that range where I might invest in, and especially in rosters where I might need some running back help. I think that's a good move. A couple other receivers I want to talk about. Malachi Corley has been getting pumped up quite a bit. You know, yards after the catch, he's really the best guy in this draft when it comes to yards after the catch. I know a lot of people comp him to Deebo Samuel. When are we going to learn there's only one Deebo Samuel? Like
one Tyreek Hill, one Deebo, one Megatron.
There's no other Deebo Samuel. I remember when Amari Rodgers was the next Deebo Samuel. Like, no. I think Malachi Corley is a good player. I don't see Deebo. I just see a bully in the slot who you can dump off to and he'll make plays. He does have the speed to stretch the field a little bit. But again, he's going to be offense specific.
Yeah,
he needs to go to an offense where they're going to use him properly, and that's really going to impact if I'm into him in rookie drafts or not.
If you want him, just go give a little more and get Jaden Reed like that. I'm kind of out on Corley where his price is probably going to be. A lot of people like him,
bumped up quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he's closer to Amari Rodgers than he is to Jaden Reed.
That's fair.
Like Amari Rodgers was all the hotness, Senior Bowl and everything. He was the guy. Like, oh, here it is. Nope, it didn't happen. You want to know why? Because it didn't translate. So for me, Corley is going to be somebody I will probably just let somebody else take at price.
Yeah. The last two guys I want to talk about real quick is Jacob Cowing, who I think is still a very, very nice sleeper in this draft. He's got the speed. He ran in the 4.4s, I think, low 4.4s. Yep. And good route runner, productive. Just a solid player with some juice. So I like him a lot as like a fourth round rookie pick. That's a guy that I'm going to kind of look towards. And the last guy I want to talk about is another player that a lot of people love. You know, he went to a larger program before going to Central Florida, and that's Javon Baker. He's 6'1", 202, 4.54, probably projected to go in the fourth to sixth rounds, but he had almost 1200 yards last year and 7 touchdowns. He reminds me of that traditional X receiver who maybe has some extra juice in his game that could be productive in the NFL. What do you think about Baker?
Yeah, he could either be a BC Johnson type player that is just all the hype, or he could be a legit guy. Like he probably has the most upside as the late round guy. I know there's people saying, oh, I'm taking a mid second. Nope. If he's in the third, yeah, I'll look at him, because I do think he will get the draft capital. He's had enough hype for a while in college football to where I think he's going to get the draft capital. He could be this year's Rashee Rice. Like, that's his style of play. He's got strong hands.
Yeah, he very well could be.
Yeah, and also we got to mention one more receiver, and that is McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey out of Rice.
Oh, we forgot Malik Washington too.
Malik Washington. Yeah, and McCaffrey, I was, when I first heard his name, I'm like, God, didn't he play quarterback? I know there's a McCaffrey. Yeah, you guys, it is correct. He played quarterback. He's only played receiver for 2 years. Now I get it. You're sitting here like saying, oh, nobody can translate. His dad was a phenomenal receiver, and if he's learning anything from his dad, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think his brother lines up at the slot too. Like, his brother, what's his name? Christian McCaffrey?
I think so.
I think he plays okay in the slot sometimes. I mean, he's been in the NFL for a while. He might know some things.
Yes, but everybody's saying, like, for 2 years, Luke looks very progressed in what he knows in his arsenal for receiver. Yep. So I think the ceiling's there with Luke McCaffrey, and everybody's saying, what if he goes to San Francisco? That could be an option. Like, if they do trade Ayuk, McCaffrey could be one of those third, fourth round guys that
Pete
we Schrader's, see.
Schrader's mock draft today said Ladd McConkey to the Niners at the end of the first.
Whew. Wow. Okay.
Interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, so for me, I'm really liking this receiver class. Like, there's so many options. And I know everybody's like, oh, don't take receiver late or anything. I think what we are learning from the NFL is they want more three receiver sets. And with us wanting to take more running back depth in like the third or fourth rounds, like, oh, take a potential starter, I think we got to look at the receiver depth now as like who could land on what team. And if is he like the fourth receiver on that team? Because there's a chance he could be the slot option or the next man up. So we're kind of looking at that aspect. And I love this receiver class. And everybody's like, get your seconds. I want thirds. I want those third round picks.
The thirds are going to be good, especially with a deep quarterback class too, because you'll be able to get some of the, you know, the Spencer Rattlers if you're into him, like, and Michael
Pratt,
guys like that.
I can't,
for sure.
I can't quit Scrat. I can't quit Rattler.
I love Spencer Rattler. I think with me, the process that I used last year, which is one of the reasons that got me onto Laporta and it got me onto Jaden Reed, is like, all right, you got the draft capital and you have year one opportunity. When the Lions pick Laporta, he's immediately their starter. And their other pass catcher outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown was Josh Reynolds and a suspended Jameson Williams. So for me, it's like, all right, Laporta should produce right away. Same thing with Jaden Reed. Yes, they had Christian Watson and they had Romeo Doubs. Jaden Reed, slot starter right away. Second round pick, and that hit. So I think it's, if you take the time and look at the depth charts, because one of the things when a receiver class is this deep, it's going to present challenges because the wide receiver position in the NFL is already pretty deep on a lot of teams. So you're going to have to really look at it. That might be your tiebreaker between two players is like, all right, well, he's like Tyler said, is he the wide receiver 4 or 5 on his team? Or does he have a potential to start and get on the field pretty early? That's going to be the tiebreaker for me.
Like with Puka. I mean, Puka, yeah. We're like, oh, fifth rounder, no way. There. Yep. And we all saw like, okay, are we really nervous about Tutu Atwell? No. Is Cooper Kupp a picture of health? No.
Right.
And it was all, it's exactly the same with Amon-Ra St. Brown the year he was a rookie. Yep. He was a fourth round pick. I absolutely loved him from the get-go. And I thought to myself, if he can see the field, he's not getting off the field. Like, that's what we want in players, like guys that they will make an impact.
At the end of his rookie year, and then everyone was off of him. Oh, it's because this person, who was it that got hurt?
It was Swift and Hawkinson.
They were like, oh, it's just fake. It's fake. And now he's like the number four receiver in Dynasty. Like,
yep.
Yeah. If you liked him, you liked him. And you saw why. Like, yeah, he's just a... All right. Let's talk about tight ends for a little bit. The number one tight end in this class is Brock Bowers in Logout. This class isn't very deep. I think there's some interesting prospects in this draft. But I will say this. Because of this draft class, because it has Neighbors, Adunze, the quarterbacks, as well as Marv, Brock Bowers is being slept on, guys.
Yeah, like, he's so good.
He is everyone talks about Marv as a generational prospect. Same thing with Caleb. Everyone forgets about Brock. And you know why? Because he didn't go to the combine. He didn't do his pro day. He did a private workout. Supposedly, he ran a 4.52, which is George Kittle speed. And
he looks like an insurance salesman.
he looks like Hunter Renfrow's big brother, is what he looks like. But Bauer, he looks like Hunter Henry. When Hunter Henry came out, he had that goofy, like, insurance salesman look to him.
Yeah.
Bowers is the same way. If you're able to get Bowers at the 107 or 108 in your super flex tight end premium leagues, guys, that is a gift from the fantasy gods for you. Because he's being mocked almost by everyone now to the Jets at 10. They just had him in for a visit this week. The stars are aligning. They need dynamic pass catchers for Aaron Rodgers in their brand new spanking uniforms. And they don't have a second. They don't. I know. They don't have an established, you know, they have Mike Williams coming off an ACL. Cool. He's not going to get a ton of targets a game, guys. Garrett Wilson, stud. Breece Hall, stud. Bowers is going to be the number two in that offense immediately, just like Sam Laporta was this past year. Don't fuck it up and just take Brock Bowers and enjoy it. Like, you're going to get him at a screaming value. If this is any other draft, if this is last year's draft, he's going ahead of where Kincaid went.
Oh, easily.
At 107. He's easily going top five. Like, and there's an argument to be made. Like, I have the 105 in one of our industry leagues, and I'm like, I already have Laporta. It's a tight end premium. Maybe I just double dip and go hog wild and have Laporta and Bowers and log out. Like, maybe. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll see. I don't know where the board's going to fall to me, but it's a nice luxury to have.
Yeah. And like you said, in any other draft, like right now, he is probably tight end 3 in Dynasty. Like he will come in.
He will be tight end one in Dynasty by the end of the regular season.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
and Laporta will be two. Kincaid will probably be three. Like,
people forget how long we've been hyping this tight end. I remember
he was a freshman. He was a beast as a freshman, which never, and he should have won the Mackey Award as a freshman.
Yep. So everybody's hyped on Kyle Pitts, which I get. You know, the combine was insane. The production in Florida wasn't quite there. Literally the opposite is Brock Bowers. The production is elite. It's elite production. We're talking insane. Stuff we haven't seen, and he just didn't do the combine. So we're sitting here like, oh, should I take him? Should I take JJ? No, don't overthink it. Take the position where if you have him, you're going to be happy for the next 10 years and just and if he lands with the Jets, say Rodgers lasts another year or two, what is a rookie quarterback's best friend? A tight end. And you know what? He's going to be elite by then. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to destroy the NFL. So yeah, Brock Bowers, if you're like, oh God, I got 107. It's okay. You're going to be okay. If you don't get Rome.
If someone takes the bait on JJ McCarthy in your super flex leagues, like, and that knocks Bowers to you, like, congrats. Like, that is just the chef's kiss.
Yeah. If, like, say you're sitting there, like, I'm in a league where I have Hockenson and Kmet, and I have 107, and I'm like, oh, I could get Rome. And then I thought to myself, or I could take the luxury of getting Brock Bowers and hoping that instead of hoping that Hockenson comes back to form or hoping that Kmet steps up if they do take a Rome or something, I have that next young elite asset and I can be happy. And it's a tight end premium. You can start more than one tight end. And if I know anything, I started Kmet, Njoku, and TJ Hockenson in the UDPL league this year, and it destroyed. Like when Njoku was hot and Hockenson was hot.
Taught me that if you have a couple of elite tight ends and then you have a third startable guy, you will rack up points.
Oh yeah. I was easily getting 60 points from those guys each and every week, and that is like, okay, I got 60 from there, let's just enjoy the rest.
You don't have to rely on the rest to do as much.
Yeah, it gives you a huge cushion. So like you said, that's a great way to get into it. Is I know the tight end class isn't deep, but it's got that one elite tier asset we've been waiting for 3 years. We just, like Marv, got bored with it.
Yeah, and they're like, he didn't test, so there's no new news, and it's just like, oh yeah, Brock Bowers is in this class too, by the way.
He reminds me of the Andrew Luck of tight ends.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Like everybody got bored of Andrew Luck when he was in the league. Like, oh, okay, yeah, 302. Okay, that's fine. It's Andrew Luck. But if he was like Anthony Richardson, everybody'd be like, there it is. But he's not splashy. He just gets it done.
Yep, 100%. You know, the number two in tight end in this class, or at least he was for a very long time, was Javion Sanders out of Texas. I had him as my number two tight end for a while. And for me with tight end, I always lean on the athleticism.
Is it now, the
I
know senator?
the Bowers didn't have, Bowers doesn't need to test for me to see it. Jatavion, I think, looks faster on the field than what he tested. And I think he was probably locked into like a mid second round pick in your rookie drafts and tight end premium. I think he's going to slip because of all the rest of the depth in this class. So for me, he's the type of player that I'm going to fit the end of the second round or the top of the third. Depending on landing spot, he may not produce in year one, but he's still a player that I'm interested in, even though his athleticism, based on like watching his tape and then how he tested, was subpar. What do you think about Sanders after his testing?
I think somebody else is probably going to draft him before me. I've seen guys like this just flame out in the NFL, a lot of athleticism, but I don't know here. Maybe he's Isaiah Likely, because I know Likely didn't really perform crazy at
Likely
the...
Likely looks way better on the field.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know he was like hyped as number one tight end or number two, and then his combine wasn't great, so he fell, of course, to the Ravens. But yeah, Sanders to me seems like he's going to be one of those players that gets locked in behind a really good tight end. Like, what if he's behind Pitts? Okay, now you got to wait to see if Pitts is fully healthy. And to me, that's where I'm at.
They're going to sign Pitts long term too.
I think I'd rather have Sanat.
I love Ben Sanat from Kansas
State. He's going to go higher than now, because I do think he will be a mid, maybe even early second round pick.
Yeah, Sanat's the kind of guy that he can do it all. He can block, he can catch, he runs solid routes. You know, he had 676 yards and 6 touchdowns at Kansas State last year. You know, 4.68 at 6'4", 250 is respectable for the position. So I like Sanat quite a bit. He's kind of my, like, one of my later round tight end
49ers. Like, he was mocked to the 49ers in the,
I mean, they gotta have a plan for Kittle eventually, because Kittle's over 30.
They wanted Brock Wright really bad from the Lions, and the Lions matched the offer. So he's kind of in that mold, and he can learn from Kittle.
Yeah. I know one of the guys that got on people's radar was Theo Johnson, because he tested like an absolute freak.
We've seen this from Penn State, guys.
We have Mike Gesicki, anyone? 6'6", 259, ran a 4.57. You know, he only had 314 yards, but 7 touchdowns on 34 catches. So he's a red zone weapon. He's the kind of guy that I would take later in a rookie draft and like let him sit on my taxi and see what happens. I'm not expecting to get anything out of him the first year or two, to be honest. Yeah.
If you're drafting that later, or even picking up a free agency, you're just doing it as kind of a bonus and hoping the upside hits. I do think he will be somebody who's drafted. If you want to use your fourth round pick or fifth round pick on somebody like that, that's fine. But for me, if he's not a free agent, I think I'm off. Like that's where I'm at with the rest of the class. It's Sanat and Brock Bowers for me. Even Sanders, I might just be out on.
I'm really intrigued by 2 more names. Well, 3 more names. Jared Wiley, again, tested like a freak. I know this is the classic, like, oh, Iowa tight ends. But if you look at Eric All, he tore his ACL mid-October, ending his year. But he flashes on tape and looks really, really good. But I know he's got an injury history. So that's a guy, like, maybe it's round 5 of your rookie draft, or you can catch him as a UDFA. That's a guy that I would take and stash. But the last guy I want to talk about, who I got to watch a lot because I'm a Florida State guy, was Jaheim Bell. He's fascinating to me as a tight end prospect. You know, 6'2", 241. We're in a 4.61. Transferred from South Carolina to Florida State. Had over 500 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown too, which was great. He was a solid contributor for South Carolina. He's a physical player. He reminds me of that Gerald Everett type, where you're going to get him to like stretch the field, get up some yak on slants and stuff like that. He's not going to block worth a shit, I don't think. But to me, he reminds me of Gerald Everett. And that's okay, because Gerald Everett has always been that, like, he's going to have tight end 1 week here and there. In tight end premium, he's usually startable. But he doesn't have like massive games. He's had a couple in his career. But Jaheim Bell, if he goes to the right situation, he could be a really interesting draft pick.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, there's always going to be that one or two tight ends where that get drafted, like Drew Sample, and where it's like, what?
In the second round?
Yeah. There's going to be a couple of those guys where we're like, okay, what? What? Like, what is it?
Where'd this come from?
Yeah. Wesco, I think his
Trevin
name
was. Wesco, yeah, from West Virginia. Yep, I remember him.
So there's going to be a couple guys, and you know what? If you want to take a chance on them, they're tight ends. So you never know. Like I forgot what tight end I held. Robert Tonyan for the longest time on taxi in UDPL.
You had one good year.
And that was the year I dropped him, because I'm like, okay, I need a roster spot. I can't hold him on taxi anymore. I need to drop him. Dropped him. Blew up. So tight ends, you just never know.
Yeah, and that happens, because I usually have a fair share of tight ends rostered on my teams. And that's happened to me. I've dropped a guy and then he becomes like fantasy, not a superstar or anything, but he becomes fantasy relevant. And I'm like, God damn it, why'd you have to wait till now? But anyone in this draft outside of Bowers is going to be a guy that should be on your taxi. Bowers is going to be the only, in my opinion, the only impact player from day one. We're going to have some solid players, but those guys belong on your taxi. Give them a little bit to stew and boil until they're ready to cook in year 2, year 3. And that's what tight end is most of the time. Last year's class was a lot different. That was a once in a 10-year class where you got, you know, guys like Kincaid and Laporta that contributed in year 1 like we've never seen before.
Yeah, and if you are in need of a tight end and you don't get Bowers, it's okay to look at last year's class and maybe pick some people off there, like a Musgrave is or even Tucker Kraft, if you which one you believe in more, maybe
both.
Yeah, or both. Mayer is a huge potential breakout. So if you have a early to mid second, you're like, I need a tight end really bad. I'm not interested in anybody after that. Like, go get yourself a Mayer. Mm-hmm. Go get yourself some of those guys, because that class was so good. It's okay to go back in and dip back into that class.
100%. That's all I got for tight ends, Tyler. Anything, any final words before we wrap this thing up?
No. Next week, we will do our mock draft episode. We'll do a super flex. Since it's just you and I, we'll do a super flex and a non-super flex mock. We'll do two.
I like that.
A couple rounds. And then, like I said, the draft will be that week, 2 days after that episode, and we will be wheels up, ready to go.
And I can't wait to get all the alerts from all the drafts going and all the trading. I've actually had a relatively active off season in trading, and I'm looking forward to when the drafts are going, because in a league like UDPL, we really start to see the wheels start to turn and some picks get moved and players get
sometimes
moved
fall off. The wheels falling off. You got to keep the plane.
Fall off.
You got to keep the plane in the air. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, get the duct tape out and get that wing back on.
Yes.
Keep you afloat. So, all right, that is going to do it this week for the Dynasty Happy Hour. Make sure you join us next week. We do all the mocking, and that'll be a lot of fun, because I think we're going to see some very interesting results with that. And, man, I can't wait. We're just over a week away from the actual draft, and it is going to be a banger. I'm excited. So, for Tyler, I'm your host, Doug. We will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.